we embark upon the limud of a new sect, the parrot, a whole new limud of Lulav Gozel. So two things to make note of. First of all, we can fake ourselves out into thinking that we're learning a little bit in Yad HaYomah, at least the name of the parrot is in Yad HaYomah. But as we'll quickly see, that probably 90% of what we're going to be discussing over the course of the next year, whatever we've known a little before. So it's not really Lulav Sugyas. I mean, there are a lot of sugyas that interact and impact over Lulav. Sugyas of Hidah Mitzvah, Mitzvah of Yaveva, and Gezela, and Yiyush, and assorted topics that we're going to touch, which are really, really Shas topics, they all converge together in discussing the Mitzvah Dal Medium, so it has a little bit of both. So it is, you know, a little bit of Yad HaYomah, but it's significant Shas topics that are confronting us. We'll open up the opening lines of the opening words of the Mishnah, Daf Chav Tes and the Beis. So the beginning of the third paragraph starts with Lulav HaGoz VaYavish Pasul. So a stolen lulav or a dried out lulav is possible. So we're going to go out of order. We're going to discuss lulav hayavesh before we discuss lulav hagozel, because that's what the Rishonim started off by discussing. Lulav hagozel is a much, much longer discussion, so that's going to take a significant amount of time. So we'll start with the smaller of the two sugyas, the sugya of lulav hayavesh. So lulav hayavesh is possible. Dried out lulav is possible. So before we can even begin to discuss what that means, what's dry, what's not dry, how do you measure dryness, why is it possible? Where does any of this come from? So we know that the Torah tells us very, very little about the Dalet Minim. It identifies what they are. And even the identification requires Torah Shabbat Peh to make sure that we have the proper identification. So that's all the Torah says about Lulav. It's a kapos tamar. It basically branches from a palm tree. So how in the world does that translate to mean that if it's dry, it's possible? What could possibly be wrong? Vishtet the Chumash, that if it's dry, it's possible. So Rashi on the spot opens up the sugya for us. So Rashi, the fifth line into the Rashi says, Yavesh, deba'inan mitzvah muhuderes. Because the halacha requires hidah mitzvah. A mitzvah has to be beautiful. And a lulav yavesh, by definition, not a very pretty looking lulav. And pushes Rashi a little bit further. How do I know that you require a mitzvah to be beautiful? V'chsivan vehu. So Rashi is making reference to a sugya that appears in a couple of places, but the primary sugya is in Shabbos, in the 19th paragraph. We'll talk a lot about that as the sugya develops. The halacha is called Hidah Mitzvah. Zeh Keli Ben Veil, the Gemara derives it from a pasuk, that when you do mitzvahs, you have to beautify the mitzvahs. The Gemara in Shabbos elaborates upon this. I say tzitzis noah, and you have to have a sukkah noah, and you have to have a talis noah. Everything you do in terms of chafat v'shal mitzvah has to be beautiful. So Rashi identifies that as being the source for the psul of lulav hayavish. So if we want to just put it into mamdusha categories for a moment, the Rashi has just introduced us as really a tremendous yisoy. The Rashi has told us, always test the bacham in these terms, this is not a din wat, but a din wat. Not a din prati, but it's a din klali. Namely, this first sugya according to Rashi has zero to do with Dalet Minim. This is not a lulav, this is not a yontif of sukkah sugya. This is a kol ha-teres kula sugya. This is a din klali that permeates all of mitzvahs. Again, Veyu is not talking about lulav per se, it's talking about all mitzvahs. And all mitzvahs are covered by this rule of zekeli ben Veyu, and that is the reason why the Dalet Minim are possible. At least the lulav is possible, because it's lacking in that din klali of yandeh of hidden mitzvah. So Tosfos on the spot takes issue with Rashi. Tosfos actually references the Gemara, that the Gemara itself doesn't seem to say this. Rashi has a way of rereading that Gemara, which is going to pick up Tosfos for a moment. So the top Tosfos says, Lulav HaYavesh Posel. When we first for Gemara, Tosfos claims that the Gemara says, the Gemara does say it at one stage, but not necessarily the Maskaras of Gemara. When we first for Gemara, Vishum De'iskash Lulav LeEsrog V'chsiv Behodar. So Tosfos is talking a different language. Tosis is calling a different pasuk. Tosis is defining Lulav HaYavesh in very, very different terminology. Tosis says the entire sugya Lulav HaYavesh begins and ends in that one pasuk in Parshas Emor about Dalamidim. Kachta Lechem Yom Rishon, but it starts with Priya Tadar. Now, Priya Tadar has nothing to do with Lulav. That's a description of an Esrog. But the Torah describes an Esrog as a Priya Tadar, in effect teaching me almost two halachos. It's not Brisket Torah already. There are two din of hadar. There's one din that is the identification of the species, that an esrog is called a pre-eitz hadar. That is the name of an esrog. Now, how in the world did we know that? We needed the Torah Shabbat Peh for that. But pre-eitz hadar is the name of the game. That is the Torah term for an esrog. But from the fact that the Torah refers to it by that phrase, Pri Yetzirah, that also teaches to be an additional component, that the Esrog has to be Holdar. It has to be beautiful. And even though it may be the right species, but if it's not beautiful, then it's not acceptable to serve as an Esrog. So if you have a beautiful apple, that's no good. If you have an ugly Esrog, it's no good. In order to be Yetzirah, it has to be Holdar in both meanings of the word. Species Holdar, as well as description of its natural beauty, has to be Holdar as well. That's very nice, but what does that have to do with a lulav yavish? We're talking about it. This is an Esrog, we're talking about a lulav. So Tosus again makes reference to the Gemara a little bit later on. But the Gemara seems to derive certain halachas from lulav to Esrog and Esrog to lulav. It's called a hekesh. Whenever you have different words in the same pasuk, that's treated as a hekesh. There is an interesting machlokes Rashi and Tosus actually a little bit later on in Sukkah about whether we as individuals can darshan hekeshim or whether we need a clear cut tradition to darshan hekesh. Some of the midah shatar and reshbam, some of those tools that we use, I'm not even about to say the English word because I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Herm or something or other, you know what I mean, okay? The 13.
Hermeneutical.
There we go. I knew some of this would be able to say the name. So out of the different midah shatar and reshbam, some of them are clearly subject to the requirement of a Messiah. You have to have a tradition, ishma pisha meshur vena tadash. Let's say, for example, gzera shabbat. They're the same word. I cannot get up one fine day and say, gee, it says in the Chumash Lamor, it says the word Lamor. Oh, all of them of Lamor carry over to the other Lamor. That's ridiculous. You have to have a clear-cut tradition to the existence of Gzeir Shabbat. Kalbachoymers, on the other hand, do not require such a tradition. Adam Dan that's also a given. That's no question about that. And some of the other meters are kind of stuck in the middle. Hekesh is not actually one of the official 13. It's an additional meter. The 13 are not all of them. 13 are many of them, but there are actually more. Maybe Shmuel had Rechmanis on us. Now we never end in the morning. if we said the 32 clone of Rabbi Yossi Gulli, we'd be here till 9 o'clock in the morning. So Hekesh is also one of the meters that are addressed to them, and it's not clear whether you need a form of sorry for that. You can do that on your own. But whatever it is, Tosfos claiming that such a Hekesh exists, do a little bit of Esrog. And therefore, just as the Esrog has to be beautiful, so the lulav has to be beautiful. So let's put it into our lumdashir terminology now. According to Tosis, the psul of a lulav yavish is not a wat, but a wat.
Not
a big klali anymore. It's nothing to do with having a nice, pretty box matzahs. Nothing
unique
to do with having a nice mezuzah. It's something unique, something specific to lulav and Esrog. It's a din problem. So at the end of the day, does it make much of a difference? Not apparently. Because the bottom line is it's possible. Lulav yavish is possible. Finish. End of discussion. Lulav yavish is possible. And the word possible clearly conjures up some kind of image of a deraisa. Hard to call it. Like, why in the world would we call possible? It's not a bit derabbanan. It's a pashtus. It sounds like it's a real psul deraisa. If it's a deraisa, it has to be able to tack onto some kind of a possible. Where's the possible? So Rashi connected it to the din klali of Hindu mitzvah, and Taisus connected it to the din prati of Hadar, Esrog, slash, Lulav, Hekesh, etc. What was bothering Taisus? Luchara Rashi is right. Luchara tells us superfluous. Luchara tells us Rashi is superfluous. We know there's a din of Hindu mitzvah called Tarkulu. There's no question about that. That's the one Shabbos Kufam again. Well, we know that. You have to have a nice mezuzah, you have to have a nice sukkah, and you have to have a nice shofar, and a nice mezitzah. We know that already. That's a given already. So if we already have a din klali, we already know from Zekeli ben Meir that all mitzvahs are subject to the mitzvah, why the necessity for a din prati? Why is Tosfos chucking us and introducing a new factor in what was wrong, what was deficient with the din klali of Zekeli ben Meir?
It doesn't sound absurd. It just sounds like soft.
Okay, back. Excellent. So, in order to understand, to appreciate where Tosfos is coming from, we have to take a look at a Gemara that Tosfos actually quotes. Let's go back and circle back to Yud Aleph of the days. Let's learn the sugya together on the Yud Aleph, and then get a better perspective of what Tosfos is saying, what they're saying. The Gemara, towards the bottom of Yud Aleph of the days, quotes the Machlokes HaTanoi, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, about when I take a lulav. So we all know, you walk the shul with the lulav, so the lulav, hadas, and rabs are all tied together. Now, whether they're tied together with three ties, one tie, four ties, whether they're in the little thing or not, whether they're the babish shastara, 15,000 different ways, but every person walks into the shul in some shape or form with the lulav and the rabs and hadasim connected to one another. Where did that come from? What kind of lulav? Let's say the chumash to do that. So the Gemara quotes the following, like I said tonight. this Anya. It's on Daf Yud Aleph of the Beis. It's the very end of the skinny lines. Second to the last of the thin lines on Yud Aleph of the Beis. This Anya. Lulav ben Agud ben She'ina Agud Kasher. So the Rabbanan say, you don't really have to tie Lulav. It's Kasher. You want to tie it because today you want to walk with the shul like a wreck. If you had Hadassim and Rabs and Lulav form a lower place, I usually walk at the shul tied, and by the time davening is over, it's untied already. So either way, it's okay. The Chum say, "Agud is good. Einu agud, everything's great. Yeah, it's in a matter of." But Yehuda Omer, "Agud kasher she'einu agud pasul." But Yehuda says no. But Yehuda says that if the lulav is tied to the das and the rub, it's not tied to the esrei. If it's tied to the das and the rub, it's then you're yotzei. And if not, pasul. That's a bad word. Your mamish not yotzei b'diavad, you wouldn't be yotzei. So the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yehuda to say such a thing. You have to prove it. Where in the world? Where's the source for Rabbi Yehuda's soul? So my time in Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Yolaf lekicha lekicha miagudas ezo. He dug up a gzeir shavah. What does the gzeir shavah say? It says lekach them by dalaminim. And it says lekach them by agudas ezo. Where is agudas ezo? By lekach them agudas ezo. Adam asher basah. Figure them lemashkov by Karim Pesach. By Pesach was right, not even a din with dirt, but Pesach was right, there was a din, you have to kach them a good as Ezav, and tval them a dava shevasav. So comes Rabbi Yehuda with a fascinating drush, remarkable drush, and says, it says the kicha by Lulav, it says the kicha by good as Ezav, right? I'm sorry, mal halam bi aguda, avka nami bi aguda. Just as, like on Pesach, it has to be bi aguda, it's got to be one unit, so to by Lulav, it has to be one unit. So drush out there, I'm saying. Rabbanon, l'kicha v'kicha l'yachfina. Rabbanon didn't have that drasha. Rabbanon didn't have Gerus. That drasha didn't exist in their worldview. So good. So we have machlekes on Tanoim. It's clearly machlekes on the level of deraisa. There's no question about it. Rav Yehuda is disqualifying the dalamita midda araisa if it's lacking eged. And the Rabbanon said, we have no source for it. There's no source. Everything's kosher, the proven possible. There's no source. We don't have that gzera shava. So it's okay. So far, so good. But now the Gemara throws a kernel at us. Kemana ozlo hadasanya. Who is the author of the following braisa? Lulav mitzvah le'agdo, v'im le'agdo kosher. Is supposed to lechatchila, there's a mitzvah to tie a lulav, but if you didn't tie it, nishkefer, didn't tie it, it's not the end of the world. So this becomes very, very difficult to understand. One, so we've said this over many, many times, in learning and in life, extremes are very easy to explain. If you have a shita kitzonit, if you have a certain philosophy about life, it's very, very extreme. It's usually logically intact. It may be dead wrong, but it's logically intact. You have an extreme view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's view is, you have to die your lulav chayt v'layav, and if you don't do it, it's possible, and you're not yet saying you wasted all your money. Possible your ice, exer shava, finish end discussion. It's kitzoni, it's an extreme. It makes sense. It's a drasha, exer shava, I got it. The Rabban in the other extreme, the Rabban say, we never heard of this, not part of our celebration of Sukkot. We never heard of tying the lulav. We read the pasuk Chumash, doesn't say a boo, doesn't say a word about Eged. Exer Shav from Korban Pesach, I never heard this. Exer Shav, the Rabbanon say, and therefore they're in the other extreme. They say, we never heard of it. So Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon are fighting in a kotzer la kotzer. The Rabbanon are saying that you don't need it at all, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you need it back of the Eged. So now the problem is we have this Bryce that's walking this middle path and saying, lechatchila, there's a nice thing to do, you should do it. But if you didn't do it, it's kefelach. So who is the author of that Bryce? What shita is that braisa subscribing to? That's the Gemara's puzzle here. The Gemara says, who is the author of this braisa? The Gemara says, E Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, kilo ogda my kosher. If midyavid, it should be possible. E Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan, am I mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? The Rabbanan never said a mitzvah. What kind of mitzvah? It says about the Eilim Rabbanani, umishum shenemar, guessed it, zekelev, and there is not the final mitzvahs. What's the Gemara tell us now by saying? According to the Rabbanon, in terms of Hilchas Dalad Minim proper, do you need Eged? Is there exists a Kosov and Lakif that you need Eged? No. We never heard of this Gzer Shabbat. There is no real Din Gerais that you need Eged. But what? That doesn't exempt you from doing Eged Lechatchila. Why? To fulfill the Din, Mashinema, the Torah, Zekir, and Beyo, the Mitzvah of Hindu Mitzvah. And therefore, that middle view is in fact the Rabbanon Shita. That is the correct Shita of the Rabbanon. That when the Rabbanon disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, they only disagreed on the level of the Ikufa. It's not Ma'aki, it doesn't pass the Diyevit, the lack of Eged. The Lechachil, you have to do it outside the Mitzvah. Rabbi Saik, who sees the ball rolling around? What can we extract from this Gemara?
you're lacking on Behu, it's still the Yosef.
Oh, it's clear as day from this Gemara that the lacking of Zekeh Levi and Behu does not invalidate the Mitzvah. The Gemara says the only reason why Rabbi Yehuda passed the Lulav, which is not Agud, is because of Xerxes Kosov of Lkachdam Agudas Ezov, etc. The Rabbanim don't buy into that, notwithstanding the fact that the Rabbanim do insist the Chachil on doing Eget to fulfill Hidda Mitzvah. Hidda Mitzvah is not Ma'akir B'Dievit. That is clear as day. If that's the case, now we know where Tosfos is coming from. So now let's go back to our Tosfos. Back to the Tosfos to get it up the steps of the base. So Tosfos says, we just got finished telling you, in the second line of Tosfos, we just got finished telling you that the Mokhor for Luv HaYovish is a Hekesh and Esreg. The Loi Kibosh HaKirish HaKuntris, Yishim Dechsiv Zekel V'Mdeyu, don't tell me a story that the reason why it's possible is because Zekel V'Mdeyu Atzid HaMitzvah. Here's the punchline of Tosfos. The Ein V'Anveyu El Lechadchila. Zekel V'Mdeyu was only Lechadchila. V'lo Mifsal B'Hochi. And Zekeli and Vayu never passels b'di'evin. The Tosfos didn't just say that in the Atzmam. They brought a raya, the raya we just read. Ki the muchach parakama, the ami rabbanan, lulu mitzvah agdai, shum shenem Zekeli and Vayu, the agdai kosher. End of discussion. End of the Tosfos at purposes. The next day, I talked about a different angle of the sermon. Ad kan kushtem Tosfos. And therefore, Tosfos defended why it's necessary to tack on to a din proti, a gzeres akosav, likti hilchaz da'alminim, because the regular din klali just would not have explained why the Mishnah comes down so strong, so harsh, by saying, Lulav HaYavish, posel. What a time of Chachir, it's not nice, I got it. But posel? Posel can never be explained by Hidduk. I can't do it.
So that's how
do
you explain Rashi?
Nope, it's Akasha. Nope, how do we defend Rashi? Tosfos has a pretty strong Gemara on this side. Or do they? Tosfos said, you see, for the Gemara Dafir Aleph, that Hidu Mitzvah is never Ma'akev. And if it's never Ma'akev, so it shouldn't be Ma'akev here. There's one word that I deliberately put into that statement.
Never.
It says in Dafir Aleph, Hidu Mitzvah is never Ma'akev. It says in Dafir Aleph that in the particular scenario of a lack of Hidu Mitzvah, of not tying a lulav, it is not Ma'akev. Vishtet never. That was a very, very, very long way off. So it's anywhere, never. Is it possible to suggest that not all Hidu Mitzvahs are created equal? That within the worldview of Rashi, sometimes Hidu Mitzvah is Ma'akev, and sometimes Hidu Mitzvah is not Ma'akev. Just because the Gemara picked on one Hidu Mitzvah and said it's not Ma'akev, like Behechete said all Hidu Mitzvahs are not Ma'akev. So that seems to be the approach, the direction that we're going to have to take in Rashi. But we have to touch it up a little bit. You know, it's a little bit too arbitrary of an answer. Well, how would you ever know? How would you measure? If I would ask you, is this particular Hidu Mitzvah a problem with the Eved? I have no idea. And what about this one? I don't have a clue. How would you ever know? How would you ever measure? What criteria would you use to decide whether something is so problematic that it's possible to the Eved and sometimes not? So in effect, what we're really asking is, what is the difference between the deficiency of Hidu Mitzvah, the lack of Eged? It's clearly not the Eged, it's the Gemara Feirush. In contrast, according to Rashi, to the deficiency of Yavish. Now again, Tosfos would be looking at us and saying, what are you guys talking about? He said, there's no Hidu Mitzvah, it's not Ma'akev, finish, end of discussion, never, ever, ever, ever. But Rashi has clearly opened up the possibility of sometimes yes, sometimes no. What criteria do we use?
Isn't really a difference between Lulav HaPosel and Eged? Eged is my focus, whether or not
is absurd. Well, the Gemara concludes that the Braisa ultimately is telling us that even the Rabbanan Rav Yehuda agreed that Chili is supposed to. So there is a clear-cut Hidu Mitzvah by Eged. That everyone seems to be subscribed to. The Gemara didn't know that existed until it got to the end of the Sugya. Once the Gemara discovered that Braisa, we're recalculating, we realize there is a Hidu Mitzvah. Once there's a Hidu Mitzvah, so wait a second, why isn't it Ma'akev according to Rashi? What is the difference?
The problem is Rashi Agadah base gives Lul as an example. So kind of like, if you give Lul as an example there, then how can you say here?
So we got a big problem. So what's that Rashi? What is the difference?
Well, it could be that for a Lul of Yavesh, it loses the shame of a Lul of altogether if it's sufficiently tried out.
But at the end of the day, it's a chisor of Hidu Mitzvah. It's not a chisor. Rashi doesn't say you take the air. Rashi doesn't say you're taking nothing. You are mechavin to the Raivid. Get the next picture. Raivid says, you know why lulav yavesh is pasul? Because it doesn't exist. It's like shaking air. But that's a whole other ballgame. Rashi didn't say that.
Could you say that when the Torah uses the word hadar, that indicates that that's part of the mitzvah?
But Lamaisa, we're talking, the Torah used the word Hadar by Esrog, and the Hekesh carries it over to Lulav doesn't, but I'm not really sure. But Rashi is not going down the word Hadar. Rashi is focusing on Zekeh and Deyu. Rashi is in Parsh B'Shalach, because I didn't Parsh Zemor. So the Din in Parsh B'Shalach is the Yemach and the Mishnah. If sometimes you say, how do you know? Totally arbitrary.
I get more of an ancillary Hidr versus.
Oh, okay. So if you want to put a little Lomdisha terminology on this, L'chara, what we can say is as follows. There is a really big difference between the two lack of hiddurs. It's not just a degree. It's not a quantitative difference. It's qualitative in the sense. Wherein lacks the hiddur? There are two parts of Balanin. Truth is, there are two parts of probably every mitzvah. Almost every mitzvah Shomaisa has two parts for it. Give you an example. You learn Huchas Tefillin. You spend a lot of time learning about the Chefts of Tefillin, about them in the Ritzuas and the Parashiyos, all the details that make up the Chefts of Tefillin. And then there's a whole other section of Huchas Tefillin. What's that? How do you put it on? I put it on my right hand, I put it on my left hand, I put it over here, I put it down here, I put it there. What's the Zman of Mitzvah? There are mitzvah, there are halachas that govern the Chefts, and there are halachas that govern the Ma'isa Mitzvah. Same is true by Shofar or Moshe. So, Huchas Shofar, there are halakhs that govern the cheft of the shofar. It's got to come from this animal, can't have that animal, can't have this hole in the can't have that crack. And then there are halakhs that govern the ma'aseh mitzvah. You have to look X amount of colors, and you can't have stick in the middle, and you can't have the shmiyas and kfir. All mitzvah like that. Now I'll meet them also. I ask you, Rabbi Yisrael, the din of lulav hayyavish, wherein is the deficiency? In the cheft, no question about it. I haven't even opened up the lulav bag yet. I'm nowhere up to fulfilling the mitzvah of mitzvah lulav. It's not even sukkos yet. I go to the store, and this esrog goes for $100, this goes for $50, and the lulav yavesh goes for 29 cents. It's because it's terrible. Because it looks horrible. It's miserable. So that's a deficiency in the chefza. Rabbi Yisai, the din of eged, what's the nature of the hiddur of eged? What's the nature of the halach of eged? Is Eged Halacha in the Cheftza?
No.
Or is Eged Halacha in the Maisa Mitzvah? It's a tricky question.
No, because it has to be in the Maisa, because each individual thing could be very Mehudr. Each of the medium could be $1,000, but you didn't bind them together.
Who's going to be right? You're right. On a Raya from the Gemara, that the din of Eged is a din that licked in the mice and not in the chetzah.
Sort of Mulakata.
Bring me a rye from who? From Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda was the super duper duper Eged. His Eged was so serious that it was Ma'akib the Eged. How did Rabbi Yehuda know you need Eged? The word Ulakachtam. He learned out that the word Ulakachtam has a certain connotation. If it has it's got connotation, in Hilchas. In Uchas Pesach, in Uchas Korban Pesach, Pesach Mitzrayim, it has the identical connotation in Uchas Netilas Lulav as well. Now, Rabbi Yisai, does it make any sense to compare the Chefza of Dalaminium to the Chefza of an Ezov? Why does it compare a shofar to matzah with a blend? You can't mix apples, that's ridiculous. What kind of Xerah Shofar is that, according to Rabbi Yehuda? L'chaura, what the Xerah Shofar is teaching me is not defining or redefining the Chefza from Dalaminium. The Chetz of Dalminim is Priya Tzodar, Kapis Tamarim, Anafetz Ovis, Avinachal Tzodar, Chetz of Dalminim. The fact that it has to be combined together, that's a din in the Maiseh HaMitzvah. And that makes a lot of sense, because, hey, wait a second, how do you define a Maiseh HaMitzvah? The Maiseh HaMitzvah is Lukachtem. So I thought Lukachtem means just pick it up. And Gemara picked it up with Chum Yaitzvah. Come to Rabbi Yehuda and says, no. Come to Rabbi Yehuda and says, we're going to add another component. What's the other component? Just as the word Lekachtem in other areas of Allah has a certain connotation to it, so too the mitzvah Lekich has a certain connotation as well. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no question that the din of Eged is a din that lies within the Maisa mitzvah, not within the Chetzah. We don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, we follow the Rabbanon. But it's very possible that even we follow the Rabbanon, the Hidur mitzvah that the Rabbanim is subscribing to is in the same type of a din as Rabbi Yehuda's Din of Eged. It's also, it's a Hidur de Lekicha. It's a nicer Maisa mitzvah. It's a more beautiful, it's a more presentable Maisa mitzvah to Rabbanim Shalom if you come into shul and you do a Lekicha together. Why? Otherwise, what does that be look like? You're right, the guy goes to the store, buys $1,000 extra, $500, he's got this, his dairy lover, of course, $500, he's got his chazanishmu, darn, aleph, plus 100 times a dasim. So everything is mamish kadasim within, and he walks on the show, and the whole thing is falling all over the place. He walks in, and this is going that direction, that's going the other direction. So it's a beautiful chavtza, but it's a miserable looking one. Lekicha. That's not a kicha. A kicha means you walk in the shul like a mensch. The whole thing is tied together. You're tucking your shirt's tucked in. It looks nice. That's a kicha. So it's very possible that just as according to Yehuda, the din of Eged was a detail of the kicha. The Rabbanan's watered down version of Eged, which is only a hidden mitzvah. It's not the real. It's not a derais. It's not based on Agudas Ezod. Also, it's a hidden of the kicha. Could that be a Rashi's topic? Could that be the distinction that we're searching for? That Hidur mitzvah is ma'akev b'di'eved when there's a deficiency in the chefza itself. When the chefza is up to par, but you chose to do the ma'aseh in a way that's not quite presentable in the most beautiful way, that's already a lower level of hidur. And that kind of hidur will not be ma'akev b'di'eved. Perhaps that's just this fashion. So, by side, let's do the quick. Yeah.
The examples Rashi is using on Yud Aleph are all Chavtza examples. So Sokanah, Lulav, he's not talking about
means, it. Well, Rashi is just quoting that Gemara as there's a concept of Zekel Ganeo. The concept of Zekel Ganeo permeates all kinds of Hidurim. They need Durim Bechavtza, they need Durim Bemaisa. Now, Tachas, in terms of are they going to be an equal footing, an equal part? Not necessarily.
There are other examples that are.
There aren't any examples. You can't blame Rashi. Rashi just told the Gemara. So Rabbi said, let's turn the question. Let's flip the shadow now. Let's flip this child upside down. Okay? So we started out with Rashi Shita. We short Tosis Kasha. Then he turned around and said, Josh told us, so now what's Rashi going to say, right? Now what's the next point? What's Tosis going to say? Didn't Tosis stop this? Didn't Tosis realize that? They're mixing apples and oranges, they bring your raya from Eged to a chefza of Luva Yavesh. How come Tosis saw that was okay? So one of two conclusions we can draw from Tosis. What can we draw from Tosis? One of two possible logical conclusions. Either Tosis thought, yeah, you're right, they're different, but that doesn't matter. That distinction is totally arbitrary. We say this all the time in learning. It's very nice to say there's a difference between things. The difference has to be significant, has to be meaningful. So just because we came up with this razzle dazzle shtickle Torah, Tosh Shemayim test, that there's a hider in the, well, not the first ones to say this, don't worry. There's a hider in the Maisa, there's a hider in the Chetza. Tosis learned Pashta, says, come on, all hidurim are created equal. And the Gemara says in Yidam that a hider in the Maisa is not Makad, and a hider in the Chetza is also not Makad. That's simple Pshat in Tosis. Tosis didn't buy into this Chiva. Or maybe there's something else that Tosis said. What else could Tosis possibly afford to say?
Eged is a part of the chefza.
Tosis may have thought that Eged is also part of the chefza. Like Eyot's telling me, right? Like Eyot's convincing us that maybe Eged is also part of the chefza. Aye, but we did such a great job in showing that according to Yehuda it's not. What's the answer? Yeah, according to Yehuda it's not. But maybe according to the Rabbanim it is. Maybe the Hidur that the Rabbanim were bothered with is that you walk into shul, it can be $1,000 restaurant and $1,000 lula, but the whole thing is falling on its face. That's not a beautiful chefza shel bal minyan. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to us that the eged should be a din in the chefza? According to what we're suggesting, that's the nekudas machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. That everyone agrees on daf yud aleph, that's not ma'akev. And now we have machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and daf tes, can we extrapolate from there to lulav hayavesh? So we're claiming that according to Rashi, we cannot extrapolate because that's Maisa Detila and this is Chavtza, and they're two different from one another. And now we're suggesting that that's Toys, it's not maybe the book Chavtza. If that's the point, if that's the point of contention between Rashi, which is literally Pasha's Rashi, just reading Rashi, read the Toys, just trying to figure out what they're arguing about. Does this open up our eyes to something about Dalabinu?
Could be that there's a chefetz for each individual, and then there's a chefetz of arba minim.
Oh, could this be the nekuda that Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about? Could you honestly quote eged it didn't the chefetz? It depends on how you define chefetz of arba minim. If you view the chefetz of arba minim as being four independent chefetzos that have to be taken together to be yaitzei, but each one retains its own individuality, so check off the individual box. Have a beautiful asterisk, check. Beautiful asterisk, check. Beautiful hadassah, check. Beautiful aroma, check. Check, check, check. Four checks. You were yaitzei hidden mitzvah in the chefetz. Now there's a din of eged. Of kochah, that's a din in the ma'aseh netila. That's in the ma'aseh netila, din in the chefetz. That's Rashi saying. And what could Tosfos possibly be telling us? If Tosfos is equating the din of hidden mitzvah for eged and din of hidden mitzvah for vayavesh, that they're both in the chefetz, Tosfos could be looking at dalaminim as a new entity, quote. No, there's a chefetza of dalaminim. It's like a pair of tefillin. Would you say that a pair of tefillin is four different chefetzas, four different batim? Somehow you wouldn't think like that, right? You call it's a chefetza of tefillin. Tefillin is made up of four different components. So dalaminim is made up of four different components. So a lot of things flying around and a lot of stuff going on. So again, everybody agrees on Daf Yud Aleph that push comes to shove, short of Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Agdoi is kosher b'diyad. Everyone agrees Lo Vayavish is puzzled on Daf Chav Tes. We're not quite sure, are these the same sugi, different sugi, why is a Lo Vayavish puzzled? According to Rashi, it's puzzled al tzid b'mitzvah, according to Tais, it's puzzled al tzid the other round, it's al tzid b'mitzvah, but Tais, it's puzzled al tzadr. But then let's see if we can take the sugi just a little bit further. A little bit, one step further, deeper. Everyone agrees in Daf Yud Aleph that, except for Yehuda, everyone agrees that Lo Agdo is kosher. The Diavad is kosher, even though the Chakli should do because of the Hidden Mitzvah. There is a fascinating Ritva. There's a fascinating Ritva on Daf Yud Aleph in the days. Very, very short Ritva that says something that impacts on literally Kol HaTorah Kula. Remember, the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph was trying to figure out who the author of the Braisa is. The Braisa says that you have to ma'agid it, and if you're not ma'agid it, it's kosher. So the Gemara says, if it's the Rabbanon, what's the mitzvah? Right? That was the Gemara's thought. If it's the Rabbanon, what's the mitzvah? Very basic moment, but top paragraph. Vira bana my mitzvah, perish. The lake of name of the mitzvah of Abdul Chachilim in the Torah. The Gemara could not have fathomed, couldn't have dreamt that the Dievet it's okay without Eged, but you have to be Ma'agad it midaraisa. That wasn't on the radar screen. Ela Dievet im lo Abdul Kosher, that couldn't be Lechachilim in the Torah, but the Dievet it's okay. Listen to this line of the Ritva. Well, the collectors add into the boss. That kol b'da araisa lo shani la ben lechadchila ben b'di'evin. What did Rodgers tell us? You know, we're so used to these terms we throw around very superficially. It's lechadchila b'di'evin, lechadchila b'di'evin. Never stop and ask yourself, where do those terms come from? What does that mean in the world of halacha? Either it's kosher or it's pasul. Either it's mutter or it's asr. What do those words mean? It's okay, but the b'di'evet, the chachilu should do such and such. Where does that concept of halacha even play out? Rabbi, tell me, are the tefillin kosher or the pasul? The chachilu, you should have wear, but the b'di'evet, they're okay. What do words mean? You know what the Ritva just told us? What did he just say?
The Araisa, there is no such
thing. In the level of the Araisa, that concept is a figure of our imagination. It doesn't exist. There's no such concept in the Torah of the Chachilas and B'diavis. In the world of the Araisas, everything is black and white. Either the Cheftz is kosher or the Cheftz is possible. Either you get to the mitzvah or you want to get to the mitzvah. There's no meaning. The Chachilas, that's a game. Those terms which appear in Shas, appear in Shulchan Aruch, those terms that we live with every day in Halacha, Says the Ritva, when you see those terms, you know for a fact they're only dealing with Din Midrabbanan. Chumah is Midrabbanan. The Deraisa, it's either yeah or no. And says the Ritva, that's exactly what's going on in the Sukkah. And the Gemara says in Daf Yud Aleph that Hidu Mitzvah is necessary, but only like a Chil and Apid Yebed. The Prakinam Ritva concludes the Hainu Mitzvah Midrabbanan, Mishum Shinema Zakirim and Vers Nam from Mitzvahs. What did the Ritva just do with the entire principle of Hidu Mitzvah? Just took it and made it into the world of Derabbanan. All it is, there ain't no more. And what's this proof positive? It's got to be there. It can't be deraisa. You know why? Because if it was really deraisa, it would have been possible even with the other. That's quite a Ritva. That's you have to like stop. You have to digest this Ritva for a little while.
So no matter what, both yourself and her, which is a stop.
Wait, which other puzzle? What other puzzle?
Only about them.
No, only about
them.
No, I didn't say anything about health. Whatever is derived from the Kelim Avayim, Bein Bilchus, Lula Bein Bilchus, Sukha Bein Bilchus, Muzuzah, you name it, that area of Halacha, if the source is pinned upon Vanveyu, then you know for a fact that's only Derabbanan. So what does Vanveyu mean? What does Vanveyu mean? There are 15 other pshatim on what Vanveyu means. The Targum says, Vanveyu Lashon Naveh, build me a Beis HaMikdash. There are other interpretations in Vanveyu. Vanveyu doesn't necessarily have to mean either mitzvah and love of Deraisa.
So Rashi wouldn't agree with this.
Let's think it through, right? Let's work this through. According to Tosus, on the Chavetz, there's an absolute klal. Hidur mitzvah is never, ever makid, right? Tosus brought a raya from Daf Yud Aleph, rejected Rashi of Chavetz, assumed that it permeates all of the principles of Hidur mitzvah by definition, never disqualifies. Zekel v'enveyu never ever disqualifies. Which would fit very nicely into the Ritva. Can Rashi subscribe to that? According to Rashi, half the time what? Half the time, they're killing the apostles. According to Rashi, apostles, they're ice apostles. A little bit of Yavish is no good, me not Torah, according to Rashi, and the only possible to pin that on is that Caleb and Vey. So you can't say Hidu Mitzvah is a smach to be Amen. That's not correct. So it comes out that according to Rashi, is that Caleb and Vey is a deraisa. And still what? It's a deraisa, the Caleb and Vey. And still what? It doesn't.
Possible.
Always possible. Sometimes yes. And sometimes not. For example, by Lulva Yavish it does possible, but by Eged it doesn't possible. Not what said it to the Raisa. Because remember, on the Afid Aleph, the Gemara pinned the din of Eged on Zekel Ganveyu, and according to the Raisa, came to the Raisa. So the Chora, the way the Sugi is now, the way all the pieces of the puzzle are beginning to fall into place. It comes out that you say that you say this from Ritva, that Hidu Mitzvah by definition is a Derabbanan, because it's not Shaykh with Deraisa, because it can't, if Deraisa is not. Rashi says it is Deraisa. Rashi said, we'll be over, should call someone Deraisa because of it. So Rashi learns it is Deraisa. Afa Bichay, Rashi had no qualm saying, yeah, Hidu Mitzvah is a Deraisa, and sometimes it's really bad, and it passes with the Eved, that's when it's a Chisar and deficiency in the Shevzah. And when it's not so bad, it's just a deficiency in the Maisa Mitzvah. So then it's only L'chadchila with the Raisa. Rashi just told you that there are L'chadchila with the Raisa against this Ritva.
You have to say that,
though. Or what could you say?
He subscribes to the Ritva's principle in theory, but it just depends on the application.
Oh, okay. So Judah is going to play the other side at this point. I was going to hold off until I said what I wanted to say first about this part of Rashi. So there's another way of reading the Rashi. I don't know if we get to it today, maybe next week. But bear with me for now. So far I'm presenting at least a logical possibility that according to Rashi, Rashi doesn't seem to be on the same theme as the Ritva. I'll tell you a secret. I'm not going to lose too much sleep over if I dig up a Risha that disagrees with the Ritva. There are Risha and the Fair Risha that disagrees with the Ritva. There's not even a question under the sun that this Ritva is an eye-opener. It's a Chiddush Gadol. And there are Risha and the Fair Risha hold it. It's not true. I'll show you, just give you an example of a Rishon who for sure doesn't buy into this Ritva, and it's not going to bother me if Rashi fits into that pattern as well. Let's take a look at the Gemara Maseches Nida, Maseches Nida, and a little bit of the background, and then hopefully we'll be able to appreciate whether it's vos klal is very, very controversial. We're going to talk about a very, very famous halacha that kind of bubble the days in Maseches Nida. The Gemara starts about six lines from the top. Amar Rava, a little line. La'olam yilamid adam esech beisel.
What page?
Samach Vavam Beis. Samach Vavam Beis in Eden. Six lines from the top. The Amar Rava. La'olam yilamid adam esech beisel. A person should always tell his wife. It's a law that's used. Explain to his wife. She'tei isha madicha beis kmateh b'mayim. That before she goes to the mikvah, so she should wash those areas of her body. Like Rashi explains, Kamater refers to Beis HaShechi, under the arm, or Beis HaStarm Shalom, applies all the inner parts of the body, inside the mouth, inside the ears, inside the nose. Those are all included in the phrase of Adicha Beis Kamater B'mayim. So you have to make sure that those areas are clean. Makes for the Gemara says, we have a Kasha. Beis HaKamater, Beis HaStarm, and Trichel B'Yasmayim. The Bryce says, those areas don't have to get wet. When a woman goes to the mikveh, she does not have to open up her mouth. She does not have to wait for the water to go all the way up her nose. She doesn't have to wait till the water goes all the way through her ears. She just goes in, 2 seconds, comes right out, and finishes. And the water didn't ever get into any of those places. So why is Rava draining us to carpentize? Tell your wife to make sure she cleans the base of the arm. She cleans inside her nose before she goes to the mikveh. Why? The water's not going there anyway. To which the Gemara answers the famous, you saw it? Nihid to be a smayim lo bo'inan, mokam haroy to be a smayim bo'inan. You don't need water to get inside the base of starm, inside the nose and inside the mouth and inside the ears. The water doesn't have to get there. That's true. But what you do need is you have to have the ability, theoretical possibility for water to get there, i.e. you can't have a chatzitza there. So this becomes the background for the famous halacha. When one goes to the mikvah, she has to make sure the teeth are clean, make sure the inside the ears are clean, make sure the nose is clean. Even though the water's not getting there, the mouth is not opening up under the mikvah. And it's okay. But it has to theoretically have the possibility for the water to get there. That's this command. So be a smayim you don't need, but royally be a smayim you do need. So the Gemara is already bothered by what a strange formulation, what a odd halacha. It's almost like a water shach. You have water or no water? If you don't need water, what do you have? Why is chatzitza a problem? So the Gemara continues, kid the Rebbe Zeira. So the Gemara gives another model of this type of a halacha. The other Rebbe Zeira. When a person brings a korban mincha, so the Torah says you have to bring flour and oil, and b'lul of Hashem, you're supposed to mix them together. Rabbi Zeira tells us the famous din that if you didn't mix them, the korban still kosher. You didn't do what you were supposed to. You're supposed to do b'lul of Hashem, you didn't do it. The mincha still kosher. But what if you brought a mincha in such a way that you couldn't have been b'lul if you would have wanted to? Namely, you had so much flour and so little oil that it wouldn't have even mixed together in the first place, and the entire mincha is psula b'diyeva b'deraisa. Famous statement of Rabbi Zeira. So you don't have to really truly do b'lila if you didn't do it nishkafela, but if you didn't have the possibility to do it, then you're up to kriya. That's the famous din of Rabbi Zeira. The Gemara says, oh, just like Rabbi Zeira said it by Menachas, we carry it over to tefillah as well. You don't really need b'yas mayim, but you need the ability to have b'yas mayim. Ad kan din hagel. We're not going to learn the whole sugya right now, but there's a long tesis here, top tesis, where tesis says these two halachas are both strange. The Gemara didn't really solve the problem too much. The Gemara just said, let me explain to you a strange halacha, and the Gemara gave you what? Another strange halacha. So what's the mark of these halachas? The tesis says there's got to be some deep dark secret. It's got to be based on psukim. So the only problem is the Gemara never bothers telling us neither the psukim for tefillin nor the psukim for mincha. So tesis, where the Gemara left off, tesis continues. So Tosfos works out and says it must be Chazal Darsh from this possibility, but that part. Tosfos makes them all these potential. They have no idea. They're guessing. I mean, educated guess about Tosfos is worth it to learn, but not for now. Tosfos comes up with potentially two drushes, one for Tefillah B'Mikvah, one for Mincha, to explain this strange phenomenon. So great. So far, so good. It's still a huge problem. What's the huge problem? Everything based on Pesukim. Wonderful. But they're still not identical, the two cases. Why? I said a minute ago, when you bring a korban mincha, you don't have to do bila. But if you ask the rabbi, should I do bila, what's the answer? Yes. You better do bila. Tell the chumash, blue v'shem. If Torah don't want to be, when it says to be, of course you have to do it like a chila. The evidence of that, of course you have to do it like a chila. A woman comes and asks, Rabbi, do I have to put my mouth under the mikvah? What's the answer? Absolutely. There's no level of the chiyuv for the chiyuv. You have a chiyuv to the mouth full of water. So Tosfos asks, take a look at the Tosfos, top Tosfos on Tzemach Rav and Reis. It's three lines from the last of the thin lines, to the end of the line. The third to the last of the skinny lines. V'yim toimar, amayla b'ina b'yas mayim l'chadchila v'beis astarim, k'mo b'ila. That does give you a few other examples. If everything is based on psukim, the strange formulation of, you don't really have to do it, but if you can't do it, it's possible. So how come push comes to shove, l'chadchila b'ila you have to do, l'chadchila you don't have to open up your mouth? What is the difference? So listen to Tosfos, you say. B'yesh loyman, here's the Yisayda, Yisayda, this is Tosfos. B'ein svara gabi tvila, shlo hikpida toira, ela shi yitahera adam. V'ein lo madal chathchir liboi, the cave and the b'diyeh v'tohor, l'chathchir nami loboi, v'tah loy tvila. What did Tosfos just say? What's the Yisayda, Yisayda, Yisayda just say? It is impossible to have a lechatchila in tevila. You know why? Because what's the goal of tevila? To become tahor. Push comes to shove. Did you become tahor?
Yes.
If you did, then you did a proper tevila. It would be absurd to talk about, no, go back, you have to do tevila in such and such a way, lechatchila. What is it? Rabbi, will I be tahor in what I do? Yes. If I'm going to become tahor in what I do, then you did a tevila mor b'tayra. And therefore, Tosfos says, it's not shy to speak about lechatchila. In tefillah, if at the end of the day you're going to become tahor with your mouth closed, then there's no need lechatchila to open up your mouth. What Tosfos just called, without saying the word, the Achronim used the lingo, tefillah is not a what? It's still around. Tosfos is saying it's not a mitzvah, it's a matir. It's a goal-oriented. There's nothing intrinsically special about going to the mikvah. What really matters is tefillah enables you to become tahor. It's a matir. And to have a lechatchila and a matir defies logic. In contrast, aval bila, and then Tosfos goes on to talk about a few others, but not for now. Bila is what? Let's skip three, four words. Mitzvah sininu. Look at lechatchila of it. Bringing a korban mincha is not result oriented. That's what the Torah wants you to do, is to bring, do a ma'aseh mitzvah, bring a korban mincha. So the Torah has rules. The Torah says, you want to do the mitzvah right, do bila. You want to do it wrong and still get credit, don't do bila. B'yetzi anyway. You want to do it so wrong and not get any credit, bring it in a way that's impossible to do bila. Then it's not going to catch this possible. What did Tais just tell Shabbat, right? Can we have the chachivas deraisa? What's the answer?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, as long as you're in the realm of
mitzvahs
and not matirs, then you're good to go. Then the Rabbah Chachil's deraisa. So I already
only
know.
If you have a special mokar.
Right.
The first advertises for the
because I would never have said this in a billion years, such a formulation that because the Torah says to do it, so the chayit should be ma'akeh. So you have to try to show you why it's not ma'akeh. You're right.
In the particular.
Right. Tosfos needs something. Correct. Tosfos needs something. Right. Although the truth is that Tosfos does reference a few other cases which don't have such clear psukim. Because Kurim, Chalitza, the psukim are less clear there.
Why is Chalitza mitzvah, not
So it's this Tosfos that is quoted by the Gedolei Acharonim as a raya, that Chalitza is not a matir, it's a mitzvah. Can anyone just tell me a really quick enough kamina to that one? What is chalitza? Is the goal of chalitza just to be matir the woman, or is there an intrinsic mitzvah? A 95-year-old woman's 98-year-old husband dies, didn't have any children. As a rabbi, I'm not getting remarried. So I do chalitza now. Some Achronim quote, so I say, yeah, you have to chalitza. It's like putting out phone in the morning. Yeah, do mitzvah. It's a bit satira. Another Achronim say, matito. Chalitza is a matito. You don't want to get married. So it doesn't take. So don't do chalitza. So this Tosfos is taking a big stand on chalitza also. So if I say, let's go back. That's the perspective.
It sounds though, going back to our case with Tosfos, doesn't that tell you then have to hold like the Kurban?
Right. I'm saying, so right. Not everyone's
Mishum. Tosfos is saying the creates
all the only reason why I quote it, it's a nice Tosis, the poor Tosis, remember, trying to collect that of the Kiyas and Shas. So this Tosis impacts in our sugya because it already demonstrates to us that that Rishba is far from Muskum, and therefore it's not a great shocker that Rashi disagrees with it as well.
So your Tosis doesn't have to agree with the Rishba.
No, right, right. Tosis can or cannot. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Tosis could still
Tosis
be.
Tosis correct.
Also in our case.
Correct.
How does the Rishba understand that?
How does the Ritva, how would the Ritva solve this dilemma of Tosfos? No, no, the answer to Tosfos, I do know. I do know what the answer is. The Ritva would solve the Shitasa and Mesechus Kedusha. Because the Ritva and Kedusha, the first Perek says, that this entire requirement of cleaning out the base of Starim is only a Dimid Rabbanah. The Gemara just meant the Derech Mashal. The Ritva calls from Ramban. It says it's just a Mashal to Mincha, but Midarai Setachad doesn't really exist.
But you still have a concept of doing Bila Lechachila by.
I mean, by mincha, so half of that exists. You have it. The Ritva, right?
Didn't do it.
Correct. The Ritva is not bothered with the kasha. That is correct. The Ritva would never even ask Tosfos kasha. And the answer to the Karben mincha dilemma is probably based on the following: that mincha is kachim, obviously, and the Gemara has a cloud that kachim be eaten krala akev. Even the Ritva would probably agree that in the world of kasha we could have chachilas. That the Gemara has. So it could be that kachim may be the exception to the rule. Okay. So let's just put things back to proper perspective. So what did we learn today so far? So we just read one line of Mishnah, Lul of a Yavish Puzzle. We saw Rashi's approach to Lul of a Yavish Puzzle, linking it to Hidden Mitzvah. We saw Tosfos' objection to Rashi based on the Gemara on Daf Yad Aleph. Then we said, so what exactly is the Kudus of Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos? So we said, according to Rashi, clearly there's a difference between Hidden Mitzvahs of Chetz and Hidden Mitzvahs of Gemaisa. We weren't sure whether Tosfos thought there is no such distinction, or Tosfos thought that Daf Yad Aleph also didn't the Chepsa, which touched upon what exactly is the definition of Chepsa Dalmin, one Chepsa or four Chepsa. Then we pointed out that there's another issue that's behind the scenes on Daf Yad Aleph, and that's the Ritva's big breakthrough, that the reason why Hidda Mitzvah is not Ma'akev is in effect because it's the Rabban, those two things go hand in hand, which Rashi disagrees with, and we already see other Rishon disagrees. But at the end of the day, there's still a major question unresolved in the sugya. And that is, forget about Lulav of an Esther for a second. Zekeh ben Beir. The Gemara and Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. There is a concept of the mitzvah halacha. Everyone agrees that it exists. It's not all of the mitzvahs. Hushkam to Shabbos is deraisa, derabon. According to Rashi, it's clearly deraisa. According to the Ritva, it's clearly derabonon. We're getting different vibes from different types of perhaps. Do we have any Gemaras? Any Gemaras that weigh in on this topic? Any Gemaras that point us in one direction or the other? Is Hidden Mitzvah Adin Derai? Says Hidden Mitzvah Adin Derabon. The other says there are two additional Gemaras that are going to face us, hopefully next week. One of them is, I already told the Ramakom, the Gemara Masechet Gittin. And then hopefully it's the other Gemaras will be Gemara Masechet Shabbos after the original source of Hidden Mitzvah. After analyzing both of those Gemaras, maybe we'll be able to readdress the question. Is it the mitzvah deraisa and the rabbanim, which again can ultimately impact back on the rational thoughts of the state.